The thought that I have for today is quite simple. I might sound like I'm wandering around a little bit, but the word that the Lord gave me very specifically was simply, occupy till I come. And it's out of Luke 19:13, but for those of you who were at Pinecrest, you might remember that there was a sign in the small chapel up front, and it was, occupy till I come. And to the students, what that meant was that we would have chapel and we would have classes unless the Lord intervened and began to move in another way. But if the Lord began to intervene and move in another way, then we set aside the program. We forgot all about the program. And we would go with what God desired to do. And there were times where the bells were turned off, the classes were canceled, and we would literally stay in that chapel all day, often just worshiping the Lord with different songs, and where the presencing of God was such where we just were not going to leave. Occupy till I come. Martin Luther was hoeing his garden one day when somebody came and said, if Jesus was coming tomorrow, what would you do today? And he looked at them and he said, I'd hoe my garden. Occupy till I come. There's so much speculation and prophetic words concerning tomorrow. And we know the season that we're in. We don't know the exact day of specific things that are on the threshold, but we know the basic season that we're in. Yet today is the day that I have to serve the Lord, and today is the day that I have to be faithful in that which God has called me to do. I was thinking about Daniel and the time frame he was living in. The scripture tells us that Daniel spoke with wisdom and spiritual understanding. There was a presencing of God with him that when he was in the lion's den, when they were his prayer partners were put into the fiery furnace, there was a presencing of God that was there. They didn't face those things alone. The presence of God was with them. I was looking at the description that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 11. And in Isaiah chapter 11, it's speaking of a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. It's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness. As I was thinking about the spirit of wisdom and understanding that Daniel, the testimony of that resting upon his life is in Scripture. Then as I was thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Lord Jesus Christ, the firstborn of many brethren. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And it goes on. I believe just as Daniel demonstrated the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him in the time that he was living in, even as we see the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect witness, the perfect testimony, walking in the fullness of God's presence. So the Lord is, he was God, the Son of God, but yet he came as man. Yet even though he walked the earth as the Son of Man, there was the fullness of God, the fullness of God's presence, of God's Spirit resting upon him. The same as we have a picture of through Daniel's life. That so the Lord is raising up a people today. The Lord is preparing a people today as an end time witness upon whom his Spirit is going to rest, upon whom his Spirit is going to abide. I have mentioned times of a basic call that I feel like the Lord has called me to, the preparation of a people for the end time purpose of the Lord. And in that, topics that I often speak on have to do with an appreciation of the Lord's presence. I love being able to linger in the Lord's presence. I was thinking of this afternoon as we were lingering in the Lord's presence back when my dad was in Bible school. And he used to get up early in the morning and he would wait on the Lord. And one time he was walking with someone, it happened to be Bob Mumford, and my dad mentioned something he was seeing, and Bob said, "Well, where did you get that? Where did you see that?" And without even thinking, my dad said, "Well, there's a little stool that I sit on early in the morning." See, our times of waiting on the Lord, I expect that there's a deposit that has taken place as we've lingered in the Lord's presence. But an appreciation in the Lord's, for the Lord's presence. There's an impartation, there's revelation as we're spending time in the Lord's presence. Another topic has to do with being led by the Holy Spirit. Teachings that I believe are essential for the time that we're living in. Learning to hear. That prophetic anointing, the cultivation of a prophetic anointing in our lives, but also overcoming lives, that preparation of a people for the end time purpose of the Lord. Those are four basic streams of truth that I often speak into. There's a lot of emphasis in our sharing on the inward working of the Lord within our hearts and within our lives. Not just what we're doing, but what we're becoming. There's a people who the Lord is raising up, who he's going to be seen and admired in beyond what the church has fully demonstrated in times past. But even as in thinking about the presence of the Lord, it's true we can practice his presence, and I believe we should be living every moment of every day in communion and fellowship with the Lord, conscious of his presence. That walk is available regardless of what your occupation might be or what you might be doing. But it's also essential to spend times apart, to have quiet times, such as we've had today in the corporate worship, in our prayer closet, that we might develop that sensitivity in our spirit to his Spirit, that we might receive a strengthening for the hour that we're living in, that there might come hearing, revelation, that there might come truth into our spirits. It's important that we're learning to be led by the Holy Spirit. I could tell you some stories. I'll just throw one in quickly, but it's my dad had a word about the Washington, D.C. area maybe 10 years prior before he started to move in this direction. And we were sent here to this area as forerunners of his coming and the birthing of what we have today. And I can remember one particular day I was about to go to the bank, and I was going to go to a different branch that was a little, it wasn't in the city, it was more in the suburbs. And I thought, I don't feel like going in the city today. I'm just going to ride out to the suburbs and enjoy a nice ride. And as clear as anything, the Lord checked me. And instead, I went into the city to do my banking. Well, lo and behold, in the suburbs, on the nice, you know, the fancy side of town, there was a drive-by shooting where on the very road that I would have been on, there were five cars that were shot into. The leading of the Holy Spirit, the guiding of the Holy Spirit, see, times waiting on the Lord, cultivating that sensitivity, where there's coming an impartation of strength, of hope, of expectancy, learning to hear, learning to be led by the Holy Spirit. As we're learning to hear, not just that we might be able to give a word in due season, and we all love it when somebody comes and they have a word for us and it's encouraging, or maybe gives us just what we need, you know, for the place that we're in. But also hearing, there's an authority that comes, and I can't really go into, I have about 10 sermons here, and I'm trying to pull it together in one little nutshell so that we can be out by the time we're supposed to be out. But through that hearing, through that sensitivity of spirit, learning to be led by the Holy Spirit, that hearing that's cultivated has to do with not only being able to speak an encouraging word to someone, but it has to do with a releasing of authority that the Lord desires to release through the body of Christ today. I'm remembering a time, it was early in our conferences here in the D.C. area, that after a certain conference, there was somebody who wanted to pray for my dad, and there was a little crowd that gathered, and I was cleaning up coffee pots. I just kept cleaning up coffee pots, but I was listening. And as I was listening to this man pray for my dad, I began to discern that he was not praying of the Holy Spirit. There was a different spirit flowing through him. And the little crowd that had gathered around started to dissipate. But still, my dad was sitting there. Now, you'd have to know my dad. He believed in the intervention of God, and he wasn't going to rescue himself. So he's there with his hands up, and I know what he was doing. He was believing for God to intervene somehow. And meanwhile, this person with a wrong spirit is going on and on and on, and it was an accusatory spirit, and it was a negative spirit. And as I was watching him, I remember thinking to myself, I knew my dad was tired after he ministered. He was tired, and I was thinking, God, you're not very nice to people who put their trust in you. I was remembering some things some other saints had gone through. And as I was in this dialogue with the Lord, I've only experienced this once to this magnitude, but as I was in this dialogue with the Lord, watching my dad suffer and believing for the intervention of God, all of a sudden it came out of my mouth so strong it scared me. that's enough. It came out with such an authority. That man stopped dead in his tracks. The whole thing broke up. That was the end of it. Afterwards, my dad was ministered to it. That was prayed off him. It was lifted off him. But there's an authority. That's just the taste of the authority that God is bringing forth in this hour. On the teaching website, waytaylor.org, we do an article each month that's of my dad's that we feature. And I did a number of articles on prayer because we're establishing the house of prayer. But then I posted one on the restoration of authority, but then the creative word. It's a word with power. It's a word with consequences. And the one that's on there this month happens to be about the restoration of healing and end time anointing, but also a healing anointing. But I encourage you, if you haven't looked at the teaching website, to just look and see what's there. There's a wealth of teaching on the website. But that waiting on the Lord, cultivating a sensitivity of spirit, coming to that place where we're learning to be led by the Holy Spirit. I wasn't led to join that crowd that was praying for him. I was led to keep washing coffee pots. That's the position I had to be in for what God wanted to do. But then learning to hear. Encouraging words, yes, but there's also a word with authority, and it has authority because God is speaking it. I'm just the vessel through whom he's speaking. It's not my word that has authority. It's his word coming through me. But then in overcoming life, the fourth thing that I mentioned is I mentioned the different streams of teaching that I believe are important for the preparation of our lives for the time that we're living in. The understanding of an overcoming life. The key to an overcoming life is simply being able to forgive. And as we learn how to forgive, the reaction is taken out of us. You know, certain things cause us to react. And when the Lord can deal with our reactions, so that we no longer react, but now we're responding. Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? What do you want me to say? How am I supposed to respond to this? As we allow the Lord to deal with our reactions, where they're just not there anymore, we've learned to respond. It puts us into a position where the Lord is able to use us above and beyond what any gifting by itself would allow us to be used by the Lord. Luke 21, and we're not going to go into these scriptures, but it speaks of a time of suffering before the return of the Lord. Wars, natural disasters, persecution, signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, distress of nations. These things are surely going to happen. It's an indication of the time frame that we're living in, but they should not be catching us by surprise. It speaks of the closeness of the coming of the Lord. And the scripture says that we are to watch and we are to pray always. Some hard things happening today. I can remember the book of Revelations as a young girl. You know, where it was talking about people being beheaded for the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking, well, maybe in medieval times, but not in modern society. Who would do such a gruesome thing? It's happening. It's happening. And what's on my heart is a little strong, but I'm going to share it. I was speaking at a pastor's conference. And we are establishing a house of prayer, and some prophetic words had come forth that the houses of prayer would be safe places where there would be safety. And I thought, oh, wonderful, because lo and behold, we're starting a house of prayer. And someone spoke up and said, but they're killing Christians and in the Ukraine, and they're killing Christians here, and they're killing Christians there. And the Lord had spoken to me many years ago when I was doing missions work in Ghana and said, never preach any sermon anywhere that you couldn't preach no matter what country you were in, because there's not one gospel for America and another gospel for the rest of the world. Revelation speaks of those who lost their life because of the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that there is a gospel that we need to be rooted in, that we need to be grounded in, that we need to be established in, that come what may, the reaction is gone out of us. Oh, I'm praying to escape these things. Scripture says that we should pray to escape these things. We're praying for that. But yet, as I'm remembering people like Daniel, living at a hard time, experiencing hard things, yet there was a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a presencing of God with him. There was a spirit of wisdom and of counsel. There was an understanding that he had. And I believe that the Lord is raising up such a people. One of the first messages that I ever spoke had to do with the unconditional surrender of our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. If it be so, our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from you. But I don't have a specific prophecy how this situation is going to turn out. And regardless of what happens, I'm not going to bow to you or to your gods or serve you. I'm putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The unconditional surrender of our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are learning to appreciate God's presence and cultivate it in our own lives. I hope we can have more times of lingering in God's presence. There's an impartation as we do, and we need what we're receiving as we're lingering. But as I'm cultivating the presence of God in my own life, as I'm learning to be led by the Holy Spirit, I'm learning to hear, and I'm learning to forgive and not to react, but respond to the circumstances that are about me. That's the testimony Corrie Ten Boom had. She was not reacting. She had her Bible. She had her faith. She was able to impact that prison with the glory of God, even though she was there herself. The Lord is raising up a people. He is preparing a people for the hour that we live in, who will bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a people in whom God will be seen and admired regardless of what circumstances we might face. And I tell you the truth, I don't know what will happen tomorrow. But even if I knew what was going to happen tomorrow, I would do what I'm doing today. because I'm doing it out of a conviction. This is where God has called me today. This is what I'm supposed to be doing today. And I'm going to do it with all of my heart to the glory of God. The preparation of a people for the end time purpose of the Lord. The word that the Lord gave me is quite simple. Occupy till I come. Don't get so caught up with the tomorrows that you miss today. Occupy till I come. Be faithful in the call of God that rests upon your life. Be faithful in the witness that God has called you to be. Be faithful in your times of communion and fellowship with Him. And just loving Jesus. And allowing Him to flow through you and move through you and speak through you. Occupy till I come. And have vision for what God is doing in and through the body of Christ, in and through your life. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm referring to Isaiah 11 here again. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon Him. The Lord's looking for resting places. Resting places. I want to be a resting place for the presence of the Lord. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding rested on Him. The Spirit of counsel, of might, of knowledge, the fear of the Lord, it rested upon Him. Romans 8 speaks of an intercession of the Holy Spirit. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. Speaking of the intercession of the Holy Spirit that prays according to the will of God. And there's a connection. The working, see that inward working of God in a people for those who love God and who are called according to His purpose, for who He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed into the image of His Son, the firstborn of many brethren. That's powerful. Isaiah 60 says, rise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, but His glory will be seen on you. I will glorify the glory, the house of my glory. Yes, we're living in a dark hour. But the Lord has predestinated a people who would be conformed into the image of His Son. A people in whom His Spirit might rest. A resting place for the presence of God, through whom His glory might be seen. Wasn't the glory of Jesus seen during the time frame that He walked the face of the earth as a man? And wasn't there gross darkness? But the glory of God was seen. The purposes of God moved forward. God's purposes were not hindered one bit. The Lord is raising up a people today as a testimony and as a witness, a people in whom the Spirit of God is, who are reflecting Him to the earth today. Daniel was a faithful witness in the time frame he was in. The Lord is calling us even as Daniel, the three Hebrew children, I could call out others in Scripture, is calling us into that same relationship and that same place of the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, that He might be seen and admired in a people, in you, in me, that He might speak and move through a people, through you, through me, that He might be able to do what He wants to do and be who He wants to be in your life and mine. Such a time as this, such a time as this that God has privileged us to live in. He will not be left without a witness. All through Scripture, you see that testimony, that witness going forth. When I used to teach the book of Acts, we used to love to talk about Acts 29. Of course, there's no ending on the book of Acts. It's the one book that has no end. Why? Because that last chapter is still being written today. We are the Acts 29 church. And the Lord is raising a people today for that end time witness. We're going to see an increase of healing. You know, I mentioned a healing that I had. I wasn't praying for healing. I was just wanting to get tuned up spiritually. I was just wanting to get unclogged and just spend time in the Lord's presence. And I happened to notice I got healed. See, there's a presencing of God where there's an impartation, including healing anointing. And as we just open up our spirits, as we just open up our hearts and become receptive in His presence, He's working. He's moving. He will yet work. He will yet move. And He will cause us to be at the right place at the right time and to become that witness that He needs at that hour in the place where we find us, regardless of what's going on, that His glory can shine through us. That's our calling. That is our calling, and that is our witness, and that is our testimony. Christ in us. Christ in us, seen, visible, admired, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Wendy, if you would come up. We're so blessed to be able to use the church, but there's a certain time we're supposed to finish by so that they can do the things that they do here. So we're going to go ahead and have communion, and then we're going to close. But my heart is just burning inside of me. I just so appreciate the privilege of being able to come and to gather together, and what you all add, that corporate anointing, it's precious. It's precious. Thank you, each one of you. If we could just stand, and if you would just walk up and take the bread and the cup, and then we'll receive together once everybody has received it. You want to lead up and people will follow. Okay.
That's who you are, the great I am, bright morning star, no other name can rise above, your holy name is perfect love. True, this song I raise morning star.
But in your presence, Lord, we're just asking for your fullness, Lord, for your spirit to rest upon us and in us, and Lord, that that would ever increase. We can't imagine, Lord, the fullness of who you are, but may that ever increase day by day. I just speak your blessing on every home, on every family, each one who is here. And I thank you for each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.